Hi everyone, this is Harish Kupchandani. I am the Vice President for Autodesk here in Asia Pacific. Welcome to Impact Matters. Impact Matters was something we created at Autodesk to be a thought leadership series of conversations and discussions with senior leaders with diverse experiences to help reimagine our future. It is the start of a journey very important to Autodesk as we as a company empower innovators and creators around the world to reimagine and create the next possible. The world's changed fundamentally, and we all know that. The digital transformation or digital-led disruption has always been a core part of our life for the last 5 to 8 years. But that has accelerated in incredibly amazing ways at a speed that none of us expected because of the pandemic. And as a result, what we've seen is a massive skills shortage, a skills shortage that's put pressure on the system, has put pressure on organizations to help invest in rebuilding skill sets for existing employees. It's also put pressure on organizations to figure out how they transform, but it's also started to put a lot of pressure on us as individuals, whether as senior leaders or younger leaders emerging in organizations, to unlearn, relearn, reskill, and skill up. All of this requires rethinking, but there are also fundamental programs like mentoring and mentorship, which we've seen established in many organizations. But one of the things that's been emerging as a trend in a multi-generational workforce, where there's a very large percentage of millennials who today are a core part of the workforce, is the concept of reverse mentoring, a concept where you partner, a senior leader would partner with a younger person in an organization. And the concept of reverse mentoring has had a lot of studies demonstrate that it has impact. It has the ability to impact senior leaders and help them learn about new skills, new trends, and see things from a very different perspective in a world where the younger generation is growing fast, and in regions like Asia Pacific, where the middle class is growing very, very quickly with a boom in the younger audience. And joining me today is a really good friend, a senior HR leader, who I've not met for the last 10 years, and I get to reconnect with her through this podcast, is Stephanie Nash. Stephanie is the Chief People Officer at Circles. She is a senior leader with global experiences, having worked and built up from startup scenes to SMEs to global organizations like Microsoft. She's got 25 years of experience in leading large teams, building high-performing teams, and driving operational excellence in some of the largest organizations. I am incredibly excited to have Stephanie join us today to really talk about not just reverse mentoring, but leadership and mentorship and having the ability to build organizations with a learning mindset. So Stephanie, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Rush. It's great to be here. And thank you so much for the generous introduction. It's a rare and unique opportunity, particularly these days, to catch up in person. And I appreciate being here.
No, the pleasure is all ours. And it's been what? I haven't seen you in like, I think, what, 10, 15 years or something like that?
I think it could be about 10 years.
Yeah?
Yeah, which is very telling.
After 10 years in the same country, we're reconnecting. Who would have thought this would have happened?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is there's been a lot of change in between that period of time. And I think that both of us have had new experiences and new companies since Microsoft. And that has allowed us to be where we are today. I particularly feel very grateful for the experiences that I've had over the years to work in different industries, from mining and natural resources and oil and gas, to retail and e-commerce, to high tech, to pharmaceutical and medical devices, and to do that in different markets. So originally from the US, I've lived and worked in South America, lived and worked in Asia Pacific, and have truly enjoyed that and made Asia now my home. And as you said, I've had the opportunity to work in some incredible multinational companies, and also to join some incredibly inspiring startups along the way.
Very nice. What an amazing career you've had, yeah? Working across different organizations and more importantly, cultures as well. So you probably have a very rich perspective, I'm sure you're going to share with us today. But before we dive in, I have one question for you. I just realized you've just changed jobs right in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
How does that make sense? And why would you do that? Isn't that massively risky for someone to do that?
I think some people think I'm crazy. I think that what I'd like to think is I continue to be on the journey of always learning and always growing. And I've thought of myself as someone with a relatively adventuresome spirit. And I think the current opportunity that I've recently taken on with Circles is going to prove to fulfill those aspirations and those ambitions. And it very much is about that continuous learning. And as we talk about reverse mentoring through this conversation, I can share a little bit more about how that shows up in the day-to-day.
And I'm looking forward to that. You know, but what I find interesting is this, right? Everything you said makes complete logical sense, you know, but the application of that is not necessarily very broad. You know, I think in our rational minds, we know we need to take risks. You know, we know that's, you know, we know we need to fail. You know, everyone talks about it. The narrative's out there in the world, right? You go online, you search for it, thought leaders and so on and so forth. But why are not enough people doing it?
I think that one of the things that we're experiencing since the pandemic, and I don't think that we're over it or through it, we're just progressed further from where we were before, is that people need and value safety. And there's all kinds of safety. We talk about psychological safety, workplace safety, health safety, financial safety, emotional safety, et cetera. And I think for us to be comfortable and confident in ourselves to take those kinds of risks in a responsible manner, we also need to feel that level of safety around it and us. And that can come from our family, that can come from our friends, that can come from our colleagues, that can come from our workplace. And I do think that there is a responsibility for ourselves to build our skills and capabilities, but also for us as leaders in the workplace to ensure that we're putting in place the environment and the culture that makes people feel comfortable and confident and competent and able to take the kinds of risks that we're encouraging. So our symbols, our systems, our behaviors in the workplace need to also demonstrate a level of positive reinforcement and incentive and encouragement to take those kinds of risks that we're asking people to take in order to innovate products and services that we need for our companies to grow and to thrive in today's world.
You know, building psychological safety, in my opinion, I think is probably one of the biggest imperatives for any organization or leader. And that's why I'm incredibly proud of the work that we're doing internally as well with regards to the culture work that we're doing globally. Because building psychological safety is a journey. Mm. It doesn't happen overnight. There's no magic formula, right? But culture is at the heart of it. Mm-hmm. You know, how have you seen senior leaders embrace the cultural transformation that organizations need to drive? Because, you know, I've often seen organizations or leaders, you know, struggle with this concept of culture because it's kind of a fluffy, soft, feel-good kind of thing. But I actually believe that culture is at the heart of a good organization.
I think that there is a very core responsibility of leaders to bring this into the workplace. And I believe all of us are leaders. We're leaders of self, we're leaders of others, we're leaders of teams, and we're leaders in organizations, we're leaders in communities, et cetera. We all play a role in leadership. And I think that one of the things that we can say factually is that everyone in the world has experienced this pandemic differently. And no one is immune. It doesn't matter our socioeconomic background, our nationality, our tenure, anything else, we've all been impacted. And I think that one of the ways that we can create psychological safety and trust is to think deeply within ourselves about what are some of the experiences that we have had over this 2-year period that have caused us highs, have caused us lows, have contributed to experiencing grief, have enabled us to think about joy and happy moments, and to share those experiences in a way that inspires others to be truthful. So I think that for leaders and organizations, role modeling and telling stories is very impactful. And again, that role modeling and stories don't always have to come from the most senior leader in the organization. All of us have something inspirational to share. All of us have moments of joy that we can spread to others. So how we're able to take the rituals that make us feel better or work through challenges can impart knowledge and experiences on others to think about how they may be able to apply that in their own life.
You know, I love what you said. And this, you know, I took away a few things, but this one thing I think is so important, what you said, which is this concept of self-leadership. We're all leaders in our own right. We don't need to be anointed as with a title or a large team in order to be considered a leader. You know, so we're all leaders in our own right. And as leaders, we need to learn how to lead ourselves before we can lead others and lead organizations and countries and so on and so forth. What's been interesting for me when I sit down and I reflect is the way we learn and the way we unlearn or the way we relearn. And a big part of learning is how we think about our ego. Mm-hmm. You know, because our ego tends to, especially the older you get, the more experienced you are, you think you're more accomplished, you're more established, you kind of know more than someone else. And big learning for me is over time, I've realized that the experience of age and the exuberance of youth need to coexist, mm-hmm. right? In order for us to thrive. It's not about we need more youngsters or we need more younger graduates because they're digitally native, they know more, or we need more older people. It's about how do we find that balance, you know, that mix, you know, in a recipe in order for us to build an organization that can thrive with people who have experience and people who bring energy and a whole bunch of other qualities to the organization. And in my travels in Asia and globally, and having worked in some other Asian countries and different cultures, I've realized that we're all very different people, right? And different people, you know, some of us have different biases and some of us have different language skills. And I remember getting some feedback once, from someone much younger than me. And he looked at me and he says, because I asked for something to be read and something to get some feedback on a particular topic. It took him 2 days to come back to me. And I wanted it like 30 minutes, right? As an impatient leader. And I wanted it like yesterday. And I obviously, you know, was pushing him hard. And the guy is much younger to me and obviously not natively English in terms of speaking language. He picks up himself. He walks to my office. He says, can I give you some feedback? And I'm like, sure. Firstly, I admired his courage, right? So knocked on the door, came in. Can I give you some feedback? I said, sure. He says, you know, I'm not stupid, you know, and he says, the difference between me and you and many other people is English is your first language. English is not mine. So what takes you 30 minutes to read and understand and comprehend and kind of have a conversation takes me a little longer because I need to translate it into my native language and then translate back my insight. So it's taking me longer. I sat down there. I felt really embarrassed. And more importantly, I'm like, what? That's a great perspective. I said, I didn't realize that, you know, and that kind of shifted how I think about how I lead multicultural teams, how I engage with different cultures, and how I think about how I can reframe my perspectives and expectations, right, on a day-to-day basis. So that was my one little example of this concept of learning from someone much younger, parking your ego aside. So I was really, really inspired by the courage he showed. And I think courage is a big part of it, mm-hmm. as well. But as senior leader, you got to park your ego because if you don't park your ego and genuinely intently listen, it's going to be hard for you to turn around and want to learn from someone younger. So when you think about reverse mentoring, right, as a formal process or a formal initiative in a corporate setting, how do we get that underway? Have you seen the benefits of that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think, Haresh, that's such a great example that you shared. And congratulations for taking the learning moment and applying it into becoming a more inspirational leader. So the concept of reverse mentoring, in my mind, shows up in formal and informal ways. So I feel like in an organization or around specific topics, we can engage in a reverse mentoring. And again, it can be hierarchical, it can be age, it can be peer-to-peer, different functions, and be quite specific around, I don't really feel that my digital skills are as strong as I would like them to be. Can you help me with this? Mm. Or I have customers that are representative of a different demographic than I am. Can you help me understand that demographic? And we can be quite specific around what it is that we want to learn, the skills that we want to build, the mindsets we want to change. Help me understand what it's like to be a graduate who's embarking in the workforce in the next 12 months. There's also the informal mentoring and the reverse learning. So I'm certainly finding myself, having joined a new organization, every moment of interaction for me is a reverse mentoring opportunity. We are a fast growing startup, and I've had the benefit of many years of experience. So every interaction is causing me to test myself and to say, and I don't have this right yet, but how do I put my ego aside, yeah, which says, I have experience, I've done this before, come on, let's keep moving,
yeah,
to, I wonder what they have to say.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're going to share with me. And so I try and apply this principle of what I call ABC, always be curious.
Nice.
And like so that. Really thinking about, in an interaction, trying to take a step back and say, oh, I can't believe he did that. Oh, why did she do that? But to say, I wonder what caused him to take that action. Or I wonder why she felt she needed to have that response. So I like to think about the A, asking good questions. So always be curious, asking specific questions, looking, asking more targeted questions, not just how are you today? Why did you do that? But adding on to that, what did you do this weekend that brought you joy? Did you fulfill your commitment to yourself to eat healthier? How so? Can you share that with others on the team? What reaction were you hoping this person would have when you sent that email? And really trying to seek that clarification and to listen deeply to the responses that people give, because it's not just, it's just a gesture if we ask the question. It really then comes down to, did we really listen to the answer? And then how do we actually apply and act with integrity and empathy based on what we heard? And so it's a learning, I'm constantly learning, constantly growing, and really testing myself daily. But feeling great about having made the decision and the recognition of how important it is to embrace other people's perspective and to be more humble and to put ego aside and to be willing to change and to apply different ways of working and different ways of thinking to enrich the workplace and to create greater levels of innovation and safety for others.
I love it. You know, you talk about always be curious, ABC, right? Nice takeaway from there. And I like the part you talked about always listening as well. What advice would you give to, say, the younger generation coming into the workforce? Now, workforce dynamics or demographics has changed. You know, we work in a multi-generational workforce. Now, most organizations have at least, what, 3 generations operating? So you can imagine trying to you would know this, right? Trying to lead an organization with multiple generational workforce. What advice would you give if you were turning around and talking to a bunch of younger employees coming on with regards to, you know, how they can impact an organization and how they can actually help teach and influence for change?
Yeah, so one response I've heard to the listening, the balance of listening versus speaking, and a very straight response is, there's a reason we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. And so as we just try to apply in our own ways of operating and ways of working, to focus on that listening. And it may be that we have to be specific and say, okay, I'm not particularly good at this, but in my one-to-ones, I'm going to make sure that in the 30 minutes we have together, I'm going to spend 20 minutes of the time, not necessarily sequentially, but 20 minutes of the time is going to be around listening, asking good questions, reflecting, listening, asking good questions, reflecting, and 10 minutes is me speaking or us speaking. And so really thinking about our own personal style and dynamics and applying some micro steps, some little things that we can do to start to change and modify our behavior. I think if we try and boil the ocean or take tomorrow, I'm going to be a different person, not going to happen. And so I think that self-reflection, that level of self-awareness and social awareness that we need to build within ourselves to figure out how to be a better listener, be a better leader, be a better communicator. And I think that for the early in career or those that are younger is to also build skills and to ask for help and to have the courage to talk in a forum that is comfortable. So say it's a one-to-one, and say, I'd like to share a little bit about myself with you, or, and in return, I'd appreciate it if you would share a little bit about yourself so that we can progress our relationship in a more effective way. And one of the biggest sources of opportunity and also challenge is how we communicate. And so we tend to believe that the way we like to communicate and the way we like to be communicated with is the same as everyone else, when in fact, that's not the case. We all like to communicate differently and to be communicated with differently. And that might change scenario to and context-wise, but some people are more analytical and some people are more reactive. So some people would like to see and read something before engaging in a discussion. Other people are like, don't send me proofreads, I just wanna have a conversation. And I think that we can ask some questions to just get to know each other a little bit better. So that we can improve the effectiveness of our communication and therefore the impact that we're able to have after each of those interactions.
You know, I spent a lot of time working across Asia Pacific and doing a lot of work around transformation of organization, strategy, and so on and so forth. And in some industries, in some organizations, they're more conservative. And some organizations are founder-led, founder-built. And they built an empire. And these founders don't want to change. But yet, the demographics of the organization are significantly skewed towards the younger generation. Now, I believe a core role of a leader leading an organization is to be able to help the organization and its shareholders see around the bend. Right? And you do that. You work with, you know, great consulting companies. You read white papers and so on and so forth. But one of the sources to help you understand what's going on out there is our younger generation. That's why I'm a big believer of reverse mentoring, right? And your reverse mentors don't have to come just from within the organization. They can come from outside the organization. How would you get such leaders who are conservative, who are founder-led, who are set in their ways, right, to embrace these, you know, moments of learning from these younger generation in order for them to hasten the process and adoption of digital technologies to create, you know, their future, a new future for themselves?
Yeah, great question. I think that we would be remiss if we didn't include science, data, research, and evidence in our conversations. And in many founder-led organizations, these are brilliant individuals who have excelled academically, professionally, in life, whatever the case may be. And so data and evidence. So we can rely on research from renowned institutions, educational institutions, medical institutions, et cetera, that say, this is what the data is telling us. Because we now have more millennials in the workforce, as you're talking about, and disproportionately in Asia Pacific, Asia particularly, they're gonna keep giving us more data, more research. They're gonna join our companies. They're gonna leave our companies. They're going to recommend our companies as a place to work or not. And the power of that word of mouth and their ability to share their word, their thoughts and ideas on a global platform is here.
Yeah.
And so we don't have the scale as one founder, three founders, five founders, 10 leaders to combat the feedback that can come back through all these various social channels that we have. So I think we need to bring in, we need to ensure it's a safe space to have the conversation, ensure that there's permission and willingness to say, I would like to share some feedback with you. Are you in a place to listen to that? To understand how that person likes to receive information, the pre-read, the in the moment, the graphs, the spreadsheets, whatever the case may be, and say, this is what the data is saying to us. It's what's saying externally, it's what's being said and heard in our marketplace, and actually it's also what's happening in our company.
Yeah.
And then for us to co-create or co-establish, okay, what are we gonna do now?
Yeah.
Because we are at risk from a talent perspective of not being able to attract and retain and engage and motivate the people we need to ensure that we're a high performing organization that is going to achieve the aspirational goals that we have set for ourselves, for our stakeholders, for our customers, et cetera.
Stephanie, so, let's take Asia Pacific right? Rising middle class, you know, lots of, you know, younger generation audiences, you know, growing in Asia. And when you think about the concept of reverse mentoring in a region like Asia, which is incredibly diverse when you think about it, right? Probably one of the most diverse regions I've seen across the globe. Do you think reverse mentoring in a region like Asia could work?
I think it's a great question. And I also think it gives us so many additional possibilities because the richness of the diversity. We have mature industries in emerging markets. We have emerging industries in mature markets, mature industries. And with all those variations and variables give so many opportunities to learn from others. And so how we foster the connections across markets, across teams, across industries, internally and externally, can provide us huge opportunities for that reverse mentoring. And I think that where we need to consider applicability is in how we approach the concept of reverse mentoring. So some of the principles remain the same irrespective of national origin or background or traditions, that need for ensuring mutual respect, mutual accountability based on trust and safety is a principle that holds true irrespective of where those relationships are forming. What may be different is how you establish that platform of trust and respect and taking into account cultural nuances, biases, traditions, respect. And so what happens in China might be between two folks in China or two folks in India might look different. But then when we also start putting in complexities and opportunities around one individual in one country and another individual in another country, we just keep testing that hypothesis further. Which means we also need to, whether we're the mentee or the mentor, formally or informally, that we're creating that environment where people feel safe to have the courage to share what's on their mind, to ask questions, to give feedback, to offer thoughts. So I think principles apply in the East and the West, and then all the diversity that factors in within the East and the West, but then we contextualize it based on the actual scenario or nationalities that we're working with and ensure that we're establishing that mutual respect.
You know, you triggered a thought. And as a sidebar, I want to ask this question. Hierarchy in an organization, you know, a hierarchical organization, do you think that is kind of a derailer or a preventer for something like reverse mentoring as a technique to thrive?
I think that hierarchy, formal and informal, is being broken down by how people are responding in that environment. So we see people with more choices, particularly the middle class where they have more financial means, or the millennials who have that boundaryless thinking and that willingness to take risks to pursue a purpose over a paycheck. And so we will see people join organizations, leave organizations, stay with organizations, perform well or underperform in those different contexts, those hierarchical contexts. And I think what we're going to continue to see, and the data already tells us that's the case, people are choosing and have the power of choice to work for organizations that they feel aligned with from a values perspective. There are shared values. And there is the opportunity for that individual to thrive in that environment.
Some of the things you just mentioned just now are behaviors, you know, behaviors that may not be taught in schools or that may not be necessarily be part of an enablement program in an organization. So when you think about succeeding in the 21st century, you know, what do you think are the skill sets required for, you know, people in variety of different organizations across different age groups and seniorities and experiences to succeed?
I think that what we continue to see is the need for us from a mindsets and behaviors perspective to really be able to be creative, to solve problems, to think critically, to communicate and collaborate with others, and to be self and socially aware. And some of that we may learn in school because the structure enables it, or the courses teach it, or the teachers emulate it. But there are other areas where maybe individuals haven't had the opportunity for the education, and they've learned those skill sets, they've learned those mindsets, and they have those behaviors because of the life experience that they've had to work through. And so there's no right or wrong, there's no good or bad, they're just different. And I think that we, as leaders and in organizations, need to identify those different experiences and value the diversity of experiences that people are bringing to the table. And when we think about equity, diversity, and inclusion, this is really kind of underpins equity. We haven't all had the same access to technology, access to education, access to thought leaders.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity to recognize those differences and create a platform where we value everyone for the background experiences that they've had to date.
So when you think about what you just said, you know, one thing that popped up was education, right? Education systems. You know, and if you think about the East and the West, right, very different education systems, very different models, right? And all of us grow up, some of us grow through both the East and West, and some just purely in the East, right? Do you think these education systems that we all go through make a difference to how we learn and how programs like reverse mentoring can and cannot be effective?
I do, because I think that our education, we've spent many years, irrespective of how old or young we are, in an academic institution or an educational environment, if we had the good fortune to be so. And those experiences will have contributed to who we are, what we value, and how we learn. And so for some, depending on what their educational experience has been, they're better prepared to enter the workplace, and some are lesser prepared. And so this is where the skilling, the reskilling, the learning, the unlearning comes into play. And so recognizing where our experiences have contributed to us and who we are today, we may need to learn differently or unlearn some of what we were taught in school in order to pivot and to thrive in the kinds of environments that the workplace is looking for today.
It's very clear and very apparent you have what I call a learning mindset. And that's not necessarily very common in terms of people willing to have the humility to say, I don't know, I need help. You know, and I think that's very liberating as a leader. The moment you say, I don't know, I need help. I found it very liberating for myself. How do you help build a learning mindset? Or how do you help someone go on that journey? Because it's a journey. It's not going to happen overnight, right? Here are five things like what you hear out there, five things you can do to have a learning mindset. This doesn't work that way, right? How would you build a learning mindset so that, you know, different generations can realize and be more curious and realize that they can learn from one another?
I think practice, humility. I think also recognizing, we talked about psychological safety, but I think one of the things that we can also think about is, who is it, what do we have around us that gives us safety? So I feel the good fortune of having an incredible life partner, father to my children, inspirational person, and two daughters who are my North Star. They're my pride and my joy. And so I have, so that gives me a level of, okay, well, if all else fails and I take this risk, I'll go home and I know what I'm getting. And that's kind of one thing. It's our family, it's our support network, it's our community. It's also the networks that we've built over our career. And so for all those different experiences that we've had, whether we've moved geographies or not, or companies or not, or roles or not, we always have new experiences and we meet new people. So how do we bring the people into our network that we have learned from, we feel valued by and from, and that bring different perspectives to a conversation, and that forms our network. And the network that we have enables us to be more resilient and to take more risks, because there's that form of a safety net that sits around us. And so I think that in the time of COVID, we've also all been learning, because we've been doing our work differently, engaging with people differently, embracing new technologies differently. So we are all learning. And it doesn't have to be something that we call a formal learning experience. I registered in my learning management system. I have X number of courses to take. That's all important and helpful, but it's how do we also embrace the experiences of each interaction that we have in that reverse mentoring concept, that peer mentoring concept, to say, I can learn something from every interaction I have. And some will be more impactful than others, more inspirational than others, but there's always something to learn.
You know, I have a 15-year-old and a 21-year-old, and they have put on fresh lenses on me, especially in the areas of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, you know, I think I'm a little bit more aware, I'm a little bit more smarter than I was yesterday because of the lens that they're putting on me, because of what they're seeing in their everyday interactions with their friends and so on and so forth. So it's pretty amazing if you keep an open mind and you park your ego, like we discussed earlier on, what you can actually learn and how you can actually rewire your mindset, you know, to basically look at things from very different lens, the same thing from a very different lens, to gain a new perspective. And I think that's the opportunity we have with reverse mentoring. Whether it's from your own family in an informal setting, like you say, treat them as equals, or whether you do it in a formal way, in a formal program in an organization. But the whole concept is a powerful one because it helps us realize that we're all equals, we're all learning, and fundamentally, the world is changing. What got us here is not going to get us to where we are, where we want to go tomorrow. And what we see in the world today, and what's going to happen tomorrow, is going to be a very, very different world. So the faster we learn and adapt and continuously do that from a mindset standpoint, I've seen, you know, that's how you thrive in a world of constant change.
I completely agree. I mean, I think the world that we live in today, no matter how organized our organization, how successful our organization, there is actually no playbook for what we're experiencing right now. There is no crystal ball that anyone in the world can look at and say, oh, 6 months from now, things are going to look this way, or let's scenario plan for 12 months out. The scenarios have diversified.
Absolutely.
The problems have become more complex. The competitive landscape has expanded, and digital technology has just amplified all of that. And so it is going to be about how do we embrace the different thoughts and experiences and points of view that the people around us have so that we can actually work through this together.
It's been brilliant having you here. You know, for me, you just reinforced the fact that the experience of age and the exuberance of youth must and can coexist in order for us to thrive and to create the future we want to create. You know, the future of work or the future of anything really depends on how we bring harmony to these two groups, that osmosis for learning from the young to the older, experienced leaders to the experienced older leaders to our younger generation and next generation of leaders, is super important. So I just want to say thank you for being here and joining us today. And I hope we don't wait 10 years to reconnect again.
Likewise, Haresh, it's been a tremendous opportunity and I really appreciate it. And so many things that I'm taking away from today's conversation. I look forward to continuing the discussion.
This is Impact Matters. Thank you.